chapter 11.
2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to read verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Paul wrote this letter, 2 Corinthians, during his third missionary journey. And in that portion of the letter, and then this portion of the letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he is reviewing his ministry, some of the things that happened to him along the way. And notice in verse 24, he said, "Of the Jews, five times received I stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck." Verse 26, he says, "He was in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold, and nakedness." All of these things Paul suffered during these three missionary journeys. What we want to notice here in verse 25, and we're not going to preach from verse 25, we're going to go over to the book of Acts. What we want to gather our thoughts from the statement that he makes there in verse 25. He says, thrice, that is three times, I suffered shipwreck. He says, on three different occasions. And the key word here is, he says, I suffered. On three different occasions, he is saying, I experienced the pain. That's what it is to suffer. I experienced the distress of being in a ship that was wrecked. Three times, I suffered shipwreck. It doesn't just say three times I was in a shipwreck. It says three times I suffered. That is, he felt the pain. He felt the distress of this. So three times, and yet Paul survived. All three times, Paul survived. Three times he's in a ship that was wrecked. But Paul was not wrecked. Paul was not wrecked. The ship was, but he wasn't. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9, he said, "Cast down, but not destroyed. Three times shipwrecked, but not destroyed." But the truth is, there would be another shipwreck after these three. Notice if we go over to the book of Acts chapter 27, and that is where we want to take the message, and we've preached from this chapter on several occasions. There's much here. But in Acts 27, we read of a shipwreck that took place after Paul wrote, "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." So four times in the life of Paul, he suffered shipwreck. Now, by way of background, quickly, in Acts 21, Paul is arrested. He would stand trial before the Jews. He would stand trial before the Sanhedrin. He would stand trial before Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. And after he was declared innocent by both Festus and Agrippa, he was sent to Rome to stand before Caesar. And the reason he was sent to Rome to stand before Caesar is because Paul had appealed his case to Caesar. Now in Acts 27, we have the account from Caesarea to Rome. Rome, of course, was the capital city of the Roman Empire. There were 276 people on board this ship. We read that in Acts 27 and verse 37. And en route to Rome, there was a violent storm, which would result in the total wreckage of this ship. Notice in verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. That's a shipwreck. And then notice in verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. So again, there was a shipwreck. But the end result is they all escaped safe to land. Paul now has suffered four shipwrecks, but not one single time was Paul destroyed. Now what we have here in Acts 27 is an analogy of the life of a child of God. Luke, we often forget that Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. We tend to think sometimes that Paul is doing the writing, but Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. And Luke was Paul's, I believe, his personal physician. And no doubt he was his missionary companion. And Luke was with Paul during this voyage and had the opportunity to witness firsthand the great faith of Paul in these times of distress and difficulty. Notice in verse 1 he says, and when it was determined that we, Luke is doing the talking, that we, including Paul himself. So I want to speak today on the subject of riding out the storm. Paul did it four times. Rode out the storm. The first thing we need to do is see the storm that caused this shipwreck. And all through the Bible, storms are an analogy of some of the trials of life. We find the apostles on more than one occasion in the midst of a storm. And all through the Word of God, we see storms are pictures of difficulties and hardships and the picture of some of the struggles of life. They serve as a picture of some adversities. They serve as a picture of the burdens and the stresses of life and the calamities and the sorrows of life. They are a picture of setbacks in life. They are a picture of afflictions and battles and obstacles of life. But Paul came through these storms. The ship he was in was wrecked four times. But Paul himself came through the storm. Storms are inevitable. They're going to happen. No matter who you are, storms are going to occur in your life. And storms can come very suddenly without any warning. You see a couple examples with the apostles. Here in Acts chapter 27 and verse 13, we read that the south wind blew softly. The south wind blew softly. Everything was calm. Everything was peaceful. God always has everything in place for the storms. God knows when we need the south winds to blow softly. And I believe even when the south winds are blowing softly, that is God preparing us for storms. We need to learn the lessons of the south winds blowing softly, because even that will prepare us for storms. God always has everything in place. He puts the right people. He puts the right people in the right places at the right times. All in preparation for the storms. It was no accident that Luke was with Paul. Don't you think that that helped Paul? Certainly it did. It helped Paul's mindset. It helped him greatly that he had the companionship of Luke. That was no accident. There was also a man by the name of Julius. We read in verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius. That was no accident. He was a centurion of Augustus' band. It was no accident that Julius was there. It was no accident that Paul was delivered into the hands of Julius. Verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul. No accident. And gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. Paul is going to need this refreshment. He's about to enter into a storm. He doesn't know it, but God knows it. And God knows that Paul needs some refreshing from some friends. So he puts Julius in the ship. He causes Julius to give Paul liberty to go unto his friends. And he made sure, and God made sure, that his friends would be there. So you see, God is always working things out. And he does this to prepare us for the storms that are coming. God would cause some contrary winds to blow, causing the ship to change its course and would now go to the city of Lycia. And we read in verses 4 through 6, where the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. So now they have changed ships. God's preparing them for the storm. Things were bad. This ship was wrecked. But I believe it would have been worse had they not changed ships. No doubt this was a bigger ship. This was a better ship. That's why they made the change. And as bad as it was, it could have been worse. But God was preparing everything. Don't ever forget that. Everything that happens is of God. And everything that happens, God is providing. He might not be making provision right for that moment, but there is a provision being made somewhere, maybe down the road in a storm. But there is a provision being made. God would then cause another little contrary wind. These are not major contrary winds, just enough to cause them to change their course. And how many times God sends just a little contrary wind in our lives just to cause us to change our course? And this would bring them in verses 7 through 9 into a place called the Fair Havens. And Luke says, we spent much time there. So Paul was able to refresh himself with his friends. They would change ships. And then another wind would blow, and now they find themselves in Fair Havens. And Paul, again, is able to find much refreshment there. Why was all of this happening? God was preparing them. God was preparing them for a storm. When everything is going right, learn from it and look for God's provision. God is providing something. It may be months down the road yet. There's a storm coming. And God is making provision for the storm. Now notice some features of this storm that would cause the shipwreck. Paul had warned them and admonished them not to proceed with the journey from the Fair Havens. It was hurricane season. And he says, we need to wait. We need to stay right here. But they, of course, did not listen. And Paul would tell them that there would be hurt and much damage. If you proceed with this journey, there is going to be hurt and much damage to the cargo, to the ship, and our very lives will be in danger. He's telling them all this in verse 10. We then read in verse 14, after they proceeded in the journey, there arose, that is, suddenly and without warning, against it, that is, in opposition to the ship, a tempestuous or a violent, turbulent wind called Euroclydon. That is, it is a typhoon-like wind, a whirlwind. And then we read in verse 15, the ship was caught. The ship was caught in this wind. That is, the ship was held in this wind. The ship was trapped in this wind and could not bear up into the wind. We then read in verse 18 that the ship was exceedingly tossed. That is, hurled about, thrown about, all seemed to be out of control. It was tossed with a tempest. Then we read in verse 19 that there was a great loss. We also read in verse 20 that it was a time of darkness, that it was a time when there was no direction, there were no stars in the sky, there was no way to know where they were going. They have had a loss, they are experiencing darkness, they are in a time when there seems to be no direction whatsoever. It was a time of great weariness, we read in verse 20, and no small tempest lay on us. This tempest was laying on us. It was pressing upon us, causing us great weariness. It was also a time of hopelessness. We read there in verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They appeared to be completely under the control of the storm. And then we read, when the 14th night, that's 2 weeks, when the 14th night was come, as we were driven, that is, pushed by the winds, the waves, forced by the winds and waves, up and down, we read there in verse 27. We see also that all of this, of course, caused great fear. Verse 29, then fearing, lest we should fall upon the rocks. So the storms are capable of causing great fear. The storms are capable of causing terror, panic, agitation, dread, dismay, anxiety, uneasiness. The storms can cause this. And this was a storm, as we've already seen in verse 41 and 44, that would cause destruction. It was a storm that would cause destruction to the ship. Now you today, you might be in the Fair Havens. You might be experiencing in your life the south winds blowing softly. No problems whatsoever. But I assure you today, there are storms going on right now. You may be in the Fair Haven, the person sitting next to you may be going through a storm. The person in front of you, the person behind you may be going through a storm. But I assure you today that there are storms going on right now. And I also assure you today, if you live long enough, you're going to have another storm. You may be in the Fair Havens right now, but if you live long enough, you will experience another storm. The Fair Havens are just preparing us for the storms. All the refreshment that we get in the Fair Havens are just preparing us for the storms. So there are storms going on right now, and there are storms coming. We need to always realize that. Then notice there are some things we need to learn from this storm that will actually get us through the storm. I believe the key to Paul surviving this storm, that is Paul himself, not physically but spiritually, was Paul was prepared long before the storm. Storms don't make us. Storms reveal what we are. Storms reveal where we are with God. In Acts 20, again, we're not going to turn there to save time. In verses 22 through 24, Paul expressed his desire to go into Jerusalem, knowing full well that there would be many trials and persecutions. But he said, I'm going. The others tried to talk him out of it. They said, they'll kill you. Paul said, I'm willing to die, but I've got to go to Jerusalem. This is the will of God for my life, and I am willing to pay the price. I must do the will of God. Notice in Acts 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, Paul was determined to serve the Lord at all cost. And in order to be prepared for the storms of life, you have to be determined, I'm going to do the will of God. I am going to follow Christ no matter what it costs me. You need to determine that in the fair havens. You need to determine that when the winds are blowing softly and when the storms do arise without any warning whatsoever. You are spiritually prepared. You are spiritually prepared for that storm. And Paul, though he did not know what was going to happen, Paul was prepared for this storm. He was prepared by being refreshed by his friends. He was prepared by the fair havens. But more importantly than that, he was prepared because he was spiritually right with God. Don't wait for the storms to get right with God. You get right with God, you stay right with God, and you'll get through the storms. That's how we prepare for the storms. Paul also used this situation of a storm to proclaim the Lord and to be of help to others. Paul's a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome to stand trial. The storm hits full force. The waves crash into the hull of the ship. The crew is screaming. The captain is shouting orders. No doubt tension is mounting on that ship, and eventually all hope is gone. And it was at that time that Paul stood up, verses 21 through 25, to encourage the people in the ship. When going through the storms, when going through a crisis, don't just think of yourself. Paul didn't just think of himself. He thought of 275 other people that were on that ship. And he now sought to encourage them. That's the way it ought to be. If you're going through a storm, and someone comes to encourage you, they ought to walk away encouraged by you. That ought to always be the case. You hear people say, oh, I went to encourage them, and I ended up being more encouraged than they. That's the way it ought to be. And that's the way it was here with Paul. He stood up and he encouraged the people. You may not be able to alter your circumstances, and certainly Paul wasn't able to do that here. But you can control your attitudes. You can control your response to the situation. In the time of crisis, in the time of storm, look for opportunities to be a blessing. Look for opportunities to speak on behalf of the Lord. This will get you through the storm. As I've said before, if you have a pity party, the devil will show up at that party. He always does. He always does. The storm is not the time for a pity party. Not that there ever is a time for a pity party, but the storm is certainly not the time for a pity party. Paul maintained fellowship with God. He said in verse 23, "For there stood by me," that is, there stood right next to me this night of the storm, this night when all hope is gone, there stood right next to me the angel of God, that is, in the very midst of the storm. Paul felt the presence of God. Paul, this was a very close and felt presence. He says, there stood by me this night. That is, it was a very present help. There was a present voice. There stood by me this night saying. That is, he not only stood by me this night, he spoke to me this night. There were many voices on that ship. But Paul somehow got all those voices, all the background noise out of his mind, and all he heard was the angel of God speaking to him. And I guarantee you, if you're going through a storm, there's a lot of background noise. There's a lot of voices. But somewhere along the line, you've got to put all of that away and hear what God is saying. Don't listen. Paul wasn't listening at this time to the shipmaster. He wasn't listening to the screams and the hollering of the passengers that were filled with terror. He says, the angel of the Lord stood by me saying. That's what Paul heard that night. When we're going through the storm, we'd better be careful what we hear. We'd better be careful who we listen to. Because you listen to wrong people, you may never get out of that storm. You'd better maintain fellowship with the Lord. Paul also never lost sight of who he was. Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul never lost sight of the fact that I belong to God. In every storm, realize this truth: I belong to God. The storm will not change that fact. No matter what happens to this ship, nothing can change the fact I belong to God. No matter how hard the winds are blowing, I belong to God. No matter how high the waves get, no matter how much that ship is tossed, Paul says, I belong to God. That'll get you through the storm. And that's how Paul survived these shipwrecks. He realized that he was the absolute property of God. But he also realized that I am the servant of God and whom I serve. If a servant of God is in south winds or fair havens, what is a servant of God to do? Serve God. And if a servant of God is in a storm,
if they're in a ship that is being tossed to and fro and all hope is gone, what is a servant of God to do? Serve God. That's what a servant of God is always to do. The circumstances do not change our responsibility. Our responsibility is to serve God. So in the time of storm, remember, you are the servant of God. Therefore, in the time of storm, it is my responsibility not to go home and pout, not to go home and feel sorry for myself, not to put my hands on my head and say, woe is me. My responsibility is to serve God in the time of storm. And I'm telling you, if you serve God in the midst of the storm, it'll make the storm much easier to get through. And the way to serve God in the storm is to serve God when the south winds are blowing and when you're in the fair havens. Then when the storm comes, you don't have to get right with God. You're already right with God, and you just serve Him. That's the way it ought to be. But too often, south winds blow, we're in the fair havens, and we're just too caught up in enjoying the lucrative life, and we get out of fellowship with God, and then we got to go through some storm, and it takes us a while in the storm to get right with God. We'd save ourselves a lot of misery if we were right with God when the storm began, than having to get right with God after the storm has begun. We see also Paul realized that God was in control of the storm. God is always in control of the winds. It was God who sent the south wind. It was God who sent the slightly contrary winds to change their course. It was God who sent all these winds. People seem to get the idea, yeah, God sends the south wind. God sends the winds that cause me to end up in the fair havens, but it's the devil that sends the hurricane winds. God's the master of the wind. The devil has no control of anything. He can only do what God allows him to do. So Paul realized that God's will would be done even if the ship sank. He realized that. The Lord is the master of the wind. And God never sends a wind. I don't care what kind of wind it is. He never sends a wind without a purpose. Sometime when you have time, follow the word wind or winds throughout the Bible. And see how God has used the wind. See how God uses the wind to serve His purpose. In this chapter alone, we read of contrary winds that will sometime hinder and interfere with our plans. Verses 2 through 4. We read of winds in verse 7 that will slow our progress. We read of winds that will make our lives difficult. Verses 8 and 9. We read of winds that can frighten us. We read of winds that can cause us to lose hope. Verse 20. But there's never a single moment when the winds are not fulfilling the will of God, or when God is not in absolute control of the winds. The Bible speaks of the tempest. The Bible speaks of the stormy wind and the windy storm. The Bible speaks of the great and strong wind, the mighty wind, the fierce wind, the rough wind, and on we could go. But that's not what's important. It's not what is important is not how hard the wind is blowing. What's important is not what direction the wind is coming from. What is important is to know that He is the master of the wind, that He is in control of the wind, no matter how hard it is blowing, no matter how softly it is blowing, and no matter what direction it's coming from. He's the master. He's the master of the wind. In other words, we just need to simply accept the wind
No matter how the wind is blowing, we need to accept it as a part of God's plan and serve God in the midst of it. We go on here, and in verse 15, when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her go. Up until this time, they were struggling. They were putting forth all the effort they could. Nothing wrong with that. To save that ship. But they eventually came to the realization that no matter how much effort they put forth, nothing was changing. Put forth the effort. Put it forth. But when you come to the realization, when you come to the point where you realize that all your effort isn't doing one single thing, let go. Let go. It's time to quit trying to steer the ship. There comes a time in the storm. There's a time when, yes, you put forth the effort. But there comes a time in many a storm where you just let go and you quit trying to steer the ship. I wish people could learn this lesson. Because people today, I've seen them do it over and over and over and over again. I do it myself. They just refuse to stop trying to steer the ship. It doesn't work. There comes a time as a result of knowing the master of the wind, that you just let go. That's how you get through the storm. And people will say, why aren't you doing something? Can't you see we're about to sink? Why do something? They did. They did something. They let go. They let go. That's not giving up in despair. That's letting go, just giving, surrendering to the Lord. Let go. Quit trying to steer the ship. And the sooner we can learn this lesson, the better off we will be. Many times we have storms because we won't let go. And many times we have storms to teach us. It's time to let go. It's time for you to stop trying. I believe we ought to try and we ought to put forth all the effort we can until God says, son, daughter, just let go. Just let go. Just give it to me. And when that time comes, just sit back and let go. And that's what they did. We see event three times, there were some things thrown overboard. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They began to look around that ship. And they said, well, we don't really need this, let's throw it overboard. We don't really need this, let's throw this overboard. Same time, they held on to some things. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And then in verse 38, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. The storms always teach us what's important. The storms always teach us what we need and what we don't need. And in every storm, there is probably some things that need to be thrown overboard. Not to throw these things overboard will hinder us and will cause us more stress. And it was the longer they were in the storm, the more they began to realize we need to get rid of some things. And the longer you're in the storm, I hope that we come to the realization we need to look around in our lives. Just like these men looked around the ship, we need to look around in our lives and say, you know, Lord, show me what I can throw overboard. And as you begin to throw things overboard, that's a way of getting through the storm. What happens so many times is during the storm, people are holding on to everything they got. And the storm just continues. And the storm just gets worse. There comes a time when you got to look around. And you got to start throwing things into the sea. So there was some things thrown overboard. We see the key, of course, is that Paul believed God. And he stated that there in verses 23 through 25. In verse 25, he said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." He says, "I believe God, I believe God, I believe exactly what God has said." You need to hold on to that in every storm. In every storm, just keep on believing God. In every storm, you just keep on believing it's going to be exactly like God said it would be. And you don't ever let go of your belief in God. What's amazing today is people hold on to all their cargo and they let go of their belief in God. "Oh, Brother Dan, I'm starting to have doubts," and they're hanging on to everything they've got. You need to get rid of that and believe God. Don't let go of your belief in God. That'll get you through the storm every single time. Well, there are some things we could let go of, but belief in God is not one of them. So he believed God. They eventually would use some anchors there in verse 29. And God has supplied us with some anchors. And we need to use the anchors that God has given us. But also God had told Paul, he said, "Not one of these 276 passengers will lose their life as long as they stay in the ship." Stay in the ship. And eventually the advice came down, We've got to jump overboard. We've got to get out of this ship. The ship is going to be wrecked. And Paul said, "No, you stay on the ship. And no man's life will be lost." The point of that is that you stay in the place where God has promised to keep you. You stay there. You do not leave there. Some people will never learn. A storm arises in their life, and immediately they stop going and coming to church. That's what they do. They stop coming. They go home. They have pity party. They're no longer going to come to church. You stay where God has promised to protect you, and you'll get through the storm. Take it from a man who suffered 4 shipwrecks. He's got to know something. He had to learn something. He's been in shipwreck 4 times, and he survived every single one of them. So we need to listen to Paul. Paul said, "Stay in the ship." And in the time of crisis, do not let go where God would have you. Do not leave the place where God would have you. You see, eventually they came safe to land, and it says some were hanging on the boards, some were hanging on the pieces of the ship, but the point is they didn't let go. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes there may just be a board. You hang on to that board. Sometimes there may just be a piece of a board. You hang on to that piece. Do not let go. You stay where God has promised to keep you. In closing, we see here that as you read 2 Corinthians 11, the trials, the storms that Paul went through are not what defined him. What defined him was the fact that he came victoriously through the storm. Storms are going to come. And I will do one of two things. I will either ride through the storm victoriously, or I won't. There are no other alternatives. The storm can ruin your life, or you can grow from the storms. That's up to you. And really, how you live before the storm is going to determine to a great deal how you react to the storm. How do we react when storms come? How do we react? What is our first reaction? You say, well, my first reaction is I fall all to pieces. But eventually I pull myself together. Well, I'm glad you pull yourself together, but doesn't it concern you that you fall all to pieces? It ought to. Because that shouldn't be our first reaction to the storm. Sad to say, many times it is. But it shouldn't be our first reaction. Be defined not by the storm, but be defined by your belief in God. Be defined by the fact that when the storm came, you did what was right. That's all you can do. We all sin. We all fall. We all make mistakes. We can say, oh, my life is over. It's ruined. Is it? Only if you let it. Only if you let it. You get past it, you ride through the storm. And you do that by doing what's right. So if you're in a storm today, go around the ship. Is there anything that you could throw overboard? Or perhaps it's time to quit trying to steer the ship because you're not getting anywhere. And just let go. Just let go. You know, I've told many, many people, they'll say, Brother Dan, I've tried, I'm trying. You've got to believe me that I'm trying. And I've told them many times, it's not that I don't believe you're trying. But maybe it's time to stop trying. And just let go. And just trust God. And that time comes. It really does. There is a time for effort, but there's also a time where, Lord, I have no control of this situation. There's nothing I can do. You ask God to show you everything you can do. And when you come to the realization there's nothing I can do, it's time to let go. It's time to quit trying to steer that ship. And there are so many today, they're trying to steer their ship. We have a terrible, terrible economy in this area. And so many are trying to steer the ship. Let go. Just let go. And trust the Lord. I assure you, He can steer the ship better than you'll ever be able to steer the ship. So again, you may be in the fair havens. You may be enjoying the gentle south wind. And thank God if you are. But learn from those times. Stay in fellowship with God during those times. Stay right with God during those times. Because I assure you, a storm is coming. There's a storm coming. And the way to be ready for the storm is to be right with God. Don't wait for the storm to get right with God. I mean, I pray if you're not right with God and a storm comes, you get right. But you don't have to wait for a storm to get right with God. Be prepared for the storm even now when you're in the south winds. And perhaps you're in a storm right now. Read Acts 27. There's so much there. There's so much there. We only covered very briefly. There's so much there to learn from going through the storms. You can get through the storm. But you've got to trust God. And you've got to do what's right. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.